The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. My love Notari in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to catch a jolt from my electrodes.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
Welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. We're coming to you live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network and our fine family of broadcast affiliates across Canada, the United States, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, the Pacific Rim, and now in 20 Asian countries. I would like to welcome four new affiliates to the X Zone Radio Network family: the Bear 90.1 CHMZ FM in Tofino, British Columbia, the Edge 99.5 CIMM FM in Usalet, BC, Spuds Valley Radio 98.9 CFPV FM in Pemberton, British Columbia, and CJ 104 CJSB FM in Swan River, Manitoba. Our toll-free number is 1-877-528-8255, toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii. My email address is xzone@talkstarradio.com, on MSN Messenger, talkstarradio@hotmail.com, and our website, xzoneradio.com. Speaking about Halloween, this year's top five scariest Halloween costumes are: number one, Brittany the Babysitter; number two, President Hillary; number three, President Cheney; number four, Behind Wheel Lindsay; and number five, Naked Rosie O'Donnell. Ooh, boy, they're scary costumes. Speaking about Halloween, you know, monsters play a big part in Halloween. And in children's literature and folk tales, monsters embody negative behaviors and represent our deepest fears. Monsters are out of control and don't obey the rules of society. That's one reason children and teens are so fascinated by them. Now, A Practical Guide to Monsters by Nina Hess, who is our guest this hour, describes the physical characteristics, habits, and habitats of more than 50 ghoulish creatures, from familiar ghosts, goblins, and vampires, to rare beholders and bugbears. A follow-up to the New York Times bestseller, A Practical Guide to Dungeons, this book promises to be just as compelling for young readers who want to understand the monsters they've encountered in fantasy novels like Mirrorstone's Dragonlance series, movies like Beauty and the Beast and The Lord of the Rings, comic books like X-Men and Spider-Man, and TV series like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Monsters can be a scary and fun thing. A monster that a child would be frightened to meet can be a thrilling character in a book to read about. Now, with lavish illustrations and fact-filled text, A Practical Guide to Monsters enables kids to imagine that they are both the monster and the hero confronting it. The text details the diet, language, and attack methods of each monster, as well as describing the best defense to employ should you encounter a particular monster. And Nina Hess, welcome to the X-Zone.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Nina, how did you get involved with monsters?
Well, I've always been a fantasy reader ever since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I love fantasy books. And I grew up to become a children's book editor. And I was hired by a company called Wizards of the Coast to launch a fantasy book imprint for children. Wizards is a company many of your listeners may know of. It's they've been publishing fantasy books for grown-ups for years and years, and games, too, such as the Dungeons & Dragons mm-hmm. game. And when I got there, I realized there are all these books that have been written that feature all these amazing monsters, and I thought, you know, this would make a great picture book for kids. So I talked to our editorial director, and we decided to do a line of picture books, and that's sort of how I came into it.
All right, stand by, young lady. You and I have to take a commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. We're talking about monsters, X-Zone Nation. If you'd like to speak to Nina, give us a call at 1-877-528-8255. Now, that's toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii at 1-877-528-8255. A practical guide to monsters is what we're talking about this hour here in the X-Zone. And if you'd like to find out more about the books, www.mirrorstonebooks.com. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
In the castle east to the master.
Funny face, I love you. Funny face, I need you. My whole world's wrapped up in you.
Nina Hess is our special guest. And Nina, why are people so enthralled with monsters and things that scare the heck out of them?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. You know, first of all, they're just kind of fun. I mean, some of them have just some amazing powers. Vampires can hypnotize you with their gaze. And, you know, werewolves, the whole idea of transforming into a beast is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's also the whole aspect of monsters kind of represent things that we fear, and so at the same time as we're, you know, frightened of them, we're also kind of fascinated by them.
Who's your favorite monster?
Well, in the book, there's one called the Beholder, which is, I think, my favorite, at least for right now. It's this this really funny floating orb, and it has 11 different eye stalks, and each eye has a different power. One of them can petrify people. Another one can shoot out this ray that carves through stone, and so lots of cool stuff. But I love them all. I mean, there's fun ones, everything from the vampire, the zombie, the werewolf, to, you know, the mythological creatures are really cool, like the chimera, which is on the cover of the book, and that one is, it's a dragon, a lion, and a goat head all on a sort of a lion body.
So I guess Halloween's a pretty kind of cool holiday for you guys.
Oh, it's very cool. Yeah. All my friends, all my coworkers, we really get into Halloween. It's very creative. Lots of people get super dressed up. This year, one of our departments is dressing as monsters as they would dress for Halloween. So a friend of mine is dressing as a werewolf with a pirate costume. And the other one is like a creature from the Black Lagoon dressed as Aquaman.
Well, I guess we could get the creature from the Black Lagoon and kind of, you know, dress her up as Britney Spears, too. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty scary.
It sure would.
That would be doubly scary.
All right, so tell us how this book works. Now, how do the children get involved with role-playing models here in this book? And, you know, because I understand that they can either be the monster or the good guy.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on how you come to it, how you want to use your imagination. The book is basically like fiction presented as nonfiction. So you have all these different monsters. There's little facts about each of them. You can find out their height and weight and habitat and diet. I know one kid that I heard from a fan who read the book, and his parent told me that he read the diet of every monster in the book aloud. And this was like a kid that had been struggling with reading.
That's excellent.
But the book just sort of captivated him, and even the more difficult words in the book he got because he was just so into it. You know, so that's one way you can get into it. Another way is if, you know, you want to pretend to be a monster, and you can read about one of them and just get really into it. There's lots of maps of their lairs. So, like, the werewolf lair is one of my favorites. It's actually sort of like a caravan. It has all these different features to it. And so, you know, you could, if, you know, for the younger kids, they could imagine that they are werewolves.
You know, it's wonderful to see children getting interested enough in a topic to read books that they would normally not read at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we've seen the same thing with the Harry Potter series.
Yeah, and, you know, that's really the mission of Mirrorstone, which is my children's book imprint. You know, we want to create books for that will get kids who think they don't like to read to read. And a lot of research has shown that fantasy is a huge draw, especially for boys. There's been tons of reading research that shows that that genre is really appealing to boys. So if you have a boy in your life, you know, who you're trying to get him, your teacher is saying, you know, your kid really needs to be reading more, you know, try one of these books because, I mean, it really does draw them in. And boys like reading nonfiction, but, you know, they also like fiction. They like stories. And so this is just sort of one way to bridge that divide.
Tell me some of the diets from the monsters. You've got me intrigued here. What does a monster eat?
Well, some of them are pretty, you know, normal. The werebear, for example, eats fish, small mammals, and honey-rich mead. But there's a creature called the remoras, which is sort of like, it has sort of an insectoid feature. It's this giant, almost like a centipede monster that lives in the ice in very cold regions, and it jumps out at people. And that one eats deer, elk, and polar bears.
Not to mention the odd Eskimo once in a while.
Yeah, and there's one that's called the three-crean, and this is sort of like another sort of insectoid. It's part of the creepy crawler section. And actually, this is one that the dad of this boy that I was talking about, he was so excited when he read that their diet is animals and elves. And he thought that was really creepy. So, yeah. There's a whole bunch of a variety.
Now, Each monster, right, besides the diet, what do we learn about the monsters?
You learn about where they live, their habitats, the languages that they speak. You can learn the best defense to use against them. So, you know, if you happen to find yourself encountering a harpy, which is sort of this female-ish character with wings who sings to passing by adventurers and can hypnotize you, you'll find out that the best way is to bring someone along to help you counter her deadly song. You also find out about their, you know, family lives. Werewolves, for example, you may not know this, have babies that look like humans, but they're just covered in a light fuzz. And they're, you learn about things like how the werewolves only have one natural enemy, which is the werebear. And they have families too, but the kids actually look exactly like human children. And there's a really cute picture in the book of the werebear with a little baby werebear that I love.
Tell me, does the baby werewolf look like Michael J. Fox?
You know, he does. Don't tell Michael J. Fox.
Oh, I
royalties on that.
I think you take that as a great compliment. He's a real cool guy. All right, so does it tell you how to protect yourself from these monsters?
Yeah, and you know, one of my favorite ones is how do you protect yourself from a vampire?
Don't tell me. Garlic?
Any guesses?
Garlic?
Well, that is, you know, a common one, but actually the best thing to do is to stay in your own house, because you may not know, but vampires cannot cross the threshold of any house that they're not invited into. So as long as you can keep him from tricking you into inviting him into your house, you're safe. So anyone, I always tell, you know, if you have nightmares about vampires or something, not to worry, because you're safe.
Let me take a bite of your esophagus. Blah. One cookie cookie, two cookie cookies, three cookie cookies. Oh, 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 oh. You know, monsters, vampires, the trolls, they're big cash cows these days. Look at the, what was the name of that movie with, where Eddie Murphy's the donkey?
Oh, yeah, Shrek.
Shrek, you know, there you've got a troll.
Yeah.
You know, and fairy tales are filled with monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we teach our children that fantasy is great, that cows jump over moons and eggs can talk when they're sitting on a fence, but when they fall, you know, they crack up. You know, a lady flies on a goose. People live in a shoe. A guy keeps his wife in a pumpkin. And then at the tender age, after we've gained all their confidence, we rip the carpet of reality, fantasy from under their feet, and we say, ah, we lied. How does that,
yeah,
how do you...
But, you know, one of the most important, I feel like one of the most important skills for kids to learn, and I think if you're a parent or involved in schools at all, you kind of see this, that it's hard to get them to be motivated to read, especially with all the competition you have with movies
Big
and
time.
TV and video games. And, you know, fantasy, that's for a lot of kids, that's what they want to be reading. They love the stories. You know, so what's wrong with that? I mean, that, and, you know, research shows that the more kids read, the better readers they are. Mm-hmm. They'll go on to read whatever, you know, the great classics one day if they discover reading is a fun thing. So, you know, I'm a big advocate of let them read what they want to read. A Practical Guide to Monsters, if they want to read this over and over again, you know, let them do it, because that's just going to make them better readers.
And I agree with you 150%. Mm-hmm. You know, in today's society, kids don't read enough, and this is being seen in school. Mm-hmm. This is being seen in their marks, because we have basically taught kids how to be lazy. It's called internet. It's called video games. It's called, well, really, you know, if the kid doesn't want to study, who cares? Well, society cares, and I think you're doing a great job in getting these children to read.
Thanks, yeah, and, you know, this is a great book, too. If you have a kid who just loves video games, I mean, there's a lot here for them to read and sort of make that connection. You can say, you know, hey, spend a little time with this book, and you might find some things out that are useful to your games. So.
All right, so... how many different monsters are in your book?
You know, I've never actually counted the exact number. There's more than 50, I can say that with assurance.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different kinds. There's everything from the typical, you know, we have a section called the undead, which has most of the sort of Halloween-y monsters that are fun, like ghosts and ghouls.
Mm-hmm.
The lich, which is an undead wizard, which I think is very cool. A skeleton. And then there's just some of the more obscure ones. Like, there's one called the Odiug. This is this monster that lives in piles of garbage, and he eats trash. And I just think that's really cool. And I think kids will, too. And he's not very dangerous unless you bother him. So, but,
like most monsters.
You know, like most trash-eating monsters.
Yeah, let sleeping monsters lie.
Yeah. So just a huge variety. There's also some really neat illustrations of armor that you can wear.
All right, let's talk more about this, Nina. Nina, you and I have to take a break for the news. We'll talk more about A Practical Guide to Monsters when we come back. My name's Rob McConnell. Nina Hess is our very special guest. www.mirrorstonebooks.com. And Nina and I will be back on the other side of the news as we continue on this edition of the X-Zone. Still to come on tonight's show, Elizabeth Joyce doing psychic readings for one and all who give us a call at 1-877-528-8255. That's 1-877-528-8255. And Elizabeth Joyce will be with us in the next hour. Also, I'll be continuing talking about the Great Lunar Conspiracy. Did the United States land on the moon? That's in hour four as we continue live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
When the road All Hit Radio.
Radio.
X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and a one big eye. I commenced shaking and I said, oh, wee. It looked like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed,
one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looked strange to me. Well, it came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, oh, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so rough,
I wouldn't eat you cause you're so tough.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed,
one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looked strange to me. I said, oh, Mr. Purple People Eater, what's your line? He said, oh, eating purple people and it sure is fine.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, and this is the X-Zone on the Talk Star Radio Network and our fine family of broadcast affiliates around the world. Our special guest this hour is Nina Hess. We're talking about A Practical Guide to Monsters. And Nina, welcome back. Are you into role-playing games and all these neat things?
Actually, I do play in a Dungeons & Dragons game with some of my friends from work. And, you know, Dungeons & Dragons, as you probably remember it from years and years ago.
Ooh, you're being nasty. Years and years ago?
Well, thank you very much, young lady.
But it's still around, and people are playing it, and it's just, you know, growing and growing. I play that, and it's a lot of fun, and, you know, it's a lot of fun for kids, too. I've met a lot of librarians and parents who run games for younger kids and have a great success doing that. And, you know, if you have a kid that, you know, gets into this Practical Guide to Monsters, that's a great, next step to take is to, get a game going with a bunch of their friends. It teaches a lot of skills, a lot of great, like, math skills, reading skills, storytelling skills. It's basically just sort of a board game with sort of an interactive storytelling game, really. That's what it is. So.
How about these online fantasy games? Have you gotten into any of those?
I played a little bit of World of Warcraft and a little bit of that. Second Life, played around with it, but, you know, never really gotten hugely into that. I'm more of an adventure video gamer. I just finished one that was a lot of fun called The Indigo Prophecy.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just plug their games.
Tell me, what other books are you working on?
I'm working on edit a lot of books. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the editing side. We have more practical guides coming out. There's going to be a practical guide to dragon riding and a practical guide to wizardry. Available right now is the practical guide to dragons. So if your listeners are into dragons, like a lot of people are right now, that's a great book to get too.
What's the fascination with dragons these days? You're right, a lot of people are into dragons.
Yeah.
Why?
I think part of it is just the whole Harry Potter thing really opened the door for fantasy to be sort of accepted in the mainstream, and Christopher Paolini's book, Aragorn, has just sort of struck a chord with people. That's all about dragon riding. I think dragons have always been popular, at least to, you know, the people that love fantasy. We've published tons of books with dragons. We're coming out with a new chapter book series for kids age 12, all about dragons. It's called The Dragon Codex, so people can look for that in January. But, there's just something majestic about dragons. There's, you know, Tolkien, of course, Lord of the Rings. I mean, he was the pioneer in that whole genre.
I wonder if dragons are big as well as every other fantasy fantasy game, because we can escape the realities of everyday humdrum, and we can actually be that adventurer.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's one of the draws of fantasy. It's just, it's fun and it's escapism, and really just take you to another world, literally.
But, you know, I've heard stories from people where those who play Dungeons & Dragons actually get involved in the game to such a degree that time no longer exists. And, you know, some people have been late for work. They've actually lost their jobs because of playing these role games too much. And they kind of lose their grip on reality.
You know, I've heard those stories too. I don't know, mm-hmm. you know, that probably could be true of any past time to one degree or another. But I think for most people, it's actually sort of a platform for imagination. And, you know, there's a lot of celebrities that we admire, actors, talk show hosts, like Stephen Colbert is a huge just lover of fantasy and Dungeons and Dragons, and I think that sort of fueled him and really made him sort of a success, because he started out playing that game. Vin Diesel is another one, which you might not be surprised to know. He's mm-hmm. really into the whole fantasy gaming thing. So, you know, I mean, there's probably just as many amazing success stories.
Now, as someone who deals in fantasy on a daily basis, where do you see fantasy going in the next fantasy's next evolution?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it is growing. I think the whole superheroes thing is becoming a big trend right now with the TV show Heroes. I think they're sort of becoming a mixture of the different types of fantasy genres. We talk a lot about subgenres in fantasy, for example, you know, there's obviously like the high fantasy, which is Tolkien, what everyone thinks of fantasy, but there's also sort of a subgenre of urban fantasy, which is really popular right now among teens, and that's a little more edgy, more modern, so we're seeing that now. You know, it's hard to say. I'm not a trend spotter. I wish, if I knew, I'd have $1 million.
Now, your book, A Practical Guide to Monsters, would this help someone who is having nightmares, a young child who's having nightmares about monsters or is afraid to go to bed because of the monster under the bed?
Well, I think so, because, like I said, it has all these different ideas for how you can defend yourself. And mm-hmm. for me, at least when I'm afraid of something, just having that information, what would I do? Being able to think through that really helps. And also it kind of, it's just, it makes it a little bit more fun. I think you can see it in a fun way, too.
1-877-528-8255 is toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii. My name is Rob McConnell. Nina Hess is our special guest, and the website for Nina's books are www.mirrorstonebooks.com. A Practical Guide to Monsters. Let me see. Does it talk about the Cookie Monster?
It does not.
Oh, geez.
But the Cookie Monster is one of my favorites from childhood.
Fantasy and role-playing is very important in the development of children. We all know this, you know. That's why, you know, one of the biggest proofs for that is Christmas. Christmas is based on fiction.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Halloween, and I talked to people. I gave a lecture to librarians a couple weeks ago, all about fantasy. And I think there's some parents and librarians who are sort of cautious about fantasy or afraid of getting into it just because they don't really get it. And so I just sort of talked about that. And when you think about it, fantasy is all around us all
exactly.
the time. I mean, you know, the summer's blockbuster movie Transformers, that's fantasy. Christmas, you know, the idea of an elf in the workshop and
reindeer that fly.
That's fantasy.
Yeah.
Sure. I hope I'm not scarring any children.
Oh, we're late at night, so you're okay.
But yeah, so, you know, I mean, I think if you sort of broaden your definition of fantasy, it's very accessible.
And then you've got the Sandman, you've got the Tooth Fairy, you've got, let me see, the Easter Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
a lot of fairy tales.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and Walt Disney. Let's look at Walt Disney. My goodness. Sleeping Beauty, The Little Mermaid, Jiminy Cricket, Tinkerbell.
Yeah, fantasy is much more than Harry Potter. And, you know, I think it's something that kids need to explore. There's something in our psyche that really needs fantasy.
Rob in Scarborough would like me to ask you, what did you think of the Dragon Wars movie?
Oh, you know, I didn't see it, but I saw the trailers for it, and it kind of looked horrifying. That's not what I picture dragons to look like. But, yeah, did you see that?
No. You're kidding. I fell asleep during the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, okay. Yeah, The Practical Guide to Dragons, if you pick that book up, I mean, it has these majestic illustrations of dragons. And, you know, dragons are scary, too, but they're also, there's two different kinds of dragons. There are the chromatic dragons, which are like the color dragons, like green dragons and red dragons and blue dragons. And those are bad dragons. They have evil tendencies. But then there's the metallic dragons, and those are actually very good and good to people. And so that's really what I think of when I think of dragons.
And then, of course, you've got the
sort of snake-like creatures of that movie.
Do you know that I was watching a documentary a couple of months ago, and now scientists are saying that it was quite possible that there were dragons on this planet.
Interesting.
That flew. Yeah. And, of course, there are dragons that are encrypted in hieroglyphs and petroglyphs as well.
Hmm. So, yeah, the sort of mythology around dragons has been around for, you know, hundreds and hundreds mm-hmm. and thousands of years, and across cultures, too, which I think is really interesting. The dragons in The Practical Guide to Dragons are Western dragons, but, you know, of course, there's the whole Chinese dragons, and various different cultures had dragon mythology.
That's right, and then there's the most famous dragon of them all. Actually, there's two. You've got, well, no, that's a sea serpent, so that would be Beanie and Cecil, and then Puff the Magic Dragon. That was a huge success.
Yeah, and that's been turned into a picture book now.
It sure has. You know, so
kind of weird.
Well, it's kind of weird, but what does that tell you about society? Society wants to go back in time. Society wants to get back into fantasy. And we mm-hmm. just don't see this with dragons. We see this with people who go to these medieval festivals.
Yeah, Renaissance fairs.
The Renaissance fairs, that's right. And and then the biggest time of all, Halloween, is coming up.
That's
Everybody
right.
gets dressed
yeah.
up.
Yeah, and so perfect time to pick up A Practical Guide to Monsters and get some ideas for your costume.
Well, that's a great idea. Now, where is the book available?
Any bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon.com. It's also available at Walmart and Target.
1-877-528-8255 is toll-free. Our special guest is Nina Hess. And Nina is you're the editor of the book, right?
I'm the author of
Of The Practical Guide to Monsters, but you're also a book editor.
I edit books for Mirrorstone, which is a children's book imprint of Wizards of the Coast.
Now, isn't Wizards.com part of Hasbro?
Yes, Wizards of the Coast is owned by Hasbro. But, you know, they're based in Rhode Island, and we're in the Seattle area. We sort of have our own office and our own mission.
Do you find a difference between the people on the East Coast and the people on the West Coast when it comes to monsters?
In terms of people who love fantasy?
Yeah.
Not at all. I mean... I think, you know, that's kind of a universal thing that draws a lot of people together. I don't really see a difference.
Do you think that there's a lot of people who socialize who are into the fantasy roles and that they actually look for partners when it comes to fantasy role playing? For example, if you're into fantasy roles or role playing, would you look for someone who is into the same hobbies as you if you're looking for a date or somebody to hang with?
I think it varies. Just like, you know, if you love tennis, are you looking for a boyfriend that loves tennis? You know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of guys are into the whole fantasy role-playing game thing, the whole Dungeons and Dragons thing, the World of Warcraft thing. But, you know, they still have girlfriends who aren't. And actually, my company published a book called Confessions of Part-Time Sorceress by Shelley Mazenoble that I helped out with a little bit. And that's actually a great book if, you know, you're listening and you love Dungeons and Dragons and your wife just does not get it. You know, this is a super funny, down-to-earth book about a woman who thought, you know, her boyfriend was really into World of Warcraft and she didn't really know, you know, what's that all about. And then she ended up getting interested and sort of happenstance joining a Dungeons and Dragons game and kind of just really liking it. And so it's kind of how do you turn someone on to these, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or role playing fantasy games if they don't really think they would like it.
Good question. Nina, you and I have to take our final break for this hour. Still to come on tonight's show, Elizabeth Joyce, one of the world's greatest psychics, will be joining us on the other side of the news, doing psychic readings for one and all who give us a call at 1-877-528-8255. My name is Rob McConnell, and this is the X-Zone, live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Well, he came down to earth and he lit a tree. I said, oh, Mr. Purple Peter Peter, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so rough,
I just moved in my new house today. In a haunted house, still I made up in my mind to stay. Nothing wasn't gonna drive me away. When I see something that give me the creep, had one big eye and two big feet. I stood right still and I did the freeze.
Nina Hess is our special guest, and Nina is the author of A Practical Guide to Monsters, and she is also an editor for children's books. If you'd like to visit Nina's site or find out how you can get copies of The Practical Guide to Monsters, www.mirrorstonebooks.com. Before we went to the commercial break, Nina, we were talking about another book that explains to wives about Dungeons and Dragons. And what are some of the reviews you're getting on this book?
People are loving it. I mean, people that we've gotten, you know, sort of feedback like, I never thought I would understand this game, and now I really want to try it out for myself. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's very down-to-earth and funny, and I think that really draws people in.
What do you do for Halloween?
We have a huge party in our office. It's like bigger than Christmas. Everyone gets dressed up. There's little competitions, costume competitions, and people decorate their departments in different, you know, different themes. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun.
Tell me, did you ever think when you were in high school or when you were in college that you'd ever write a book about monsters and that you'd be doing the fun job that you're doing?
You know, I never did. I remember thinking I will never be a writer because it's so hard. And, you know, look where I am now. So never say never.
Somebody once asked me what an editor was, and I said, that's a grown-up teacher.
That's not a bad way of explaining it. Yeah, I mean, an editor is sort of everything from a writing coach to a friend to an advisor to a you know, grammar police, a director.
Worst enemy when it comes to deadlines, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Nina, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. Continued success.
Thank you.
And once again, plug your book and how listeners can get a copy.
Yeah, it's called A Practical Guide to Monsters, and you can find it at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon.com, Walmart and Target, and Costco, too, apparently.
And other great bookstores throughout the U.S.
and
Canada.
And any other independents, of course. I can't believe I forgot to say that.
Nina, take care of yourself. Great talking to you. Happy Halloween.
All right. Happy Halloween to you.
Bye-bye. Bye. 1-877-528-8255 is toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii. When we come back from the news at the top of the hour, Elizabeth Joyce is going to be joining us, so we're going to be talking about psychic readings for you, the XO Nation. And all you have to do to get your psychic reading is give us a call at 1-877-528-8255. Once again, this year's top five scariest Halloween costumes. Number one is Brittany the Babysitter. Number two, President Hillary. Number three, President Cheney. Number four, Behind the Wheel Lindsay. And number five, I'm going to have to poke my eyes out with a fork during the commercial after reading this one, Naked Rosie O'Donnell. Oh! Get me the fork! Get me the fork! Give me some pain! I've got to get this image out of my eyes. I'll be back on the other side of the commercial break with Elizabeth Joyce. Once again, if you'd like to line up for your psychic reading, give us a call at 1-877-528-8255. The X Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. We'll continue on the other side of this break, live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network from our studios in beautiful Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Bells started ringing and chains ran loud. I knew I'd moved in a haunted house. Still a